Let us pray. Gracious Holy One, we thank you for the angelic voices that have just sung praises to you. We thank you for being our Savior. Be with us now as we listen and respond to your preached word. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning from 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 9. Listen to these words recorded by John. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon, Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light. Look to your neighbor and say the topic with me. Walking in the light. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you to look at your sermon notes, and there's the first bullet point question is a question that I'm going to ask a couple of people. So be ready. I don't want you to say I caught you off guard. And it is, what brings you Christmas joy? I want to take a quick survey. How many of you remember the television show, I Dream a Genie? Oh, yeah. All right. Well, it's a story as it relates to a couple who was out walking one day, getting exercising and sharing together as two lovebirds and just walking from their home around the neighborhood. And they didn't notice it when they first walked out of their home, but indeed they did when they returned. It was a genie bottle, a genie bottle. It was located right in front of their home. You see it here on the screen. And so out of curiosity, the husband indeed, he picked up the bottle, and he and his wife both decided to open the bottle. And when they opened it, guess what happened? A genie popped out. And the genie said to the both of them, I will grant you one wish each. And so, as we've been told right here from the pulpit, we've been told by someone that ladies are always what? First. That's it. That's it. Okay. So since ladies are first, the genie asked the wife, what is your desire? What is your wish? That woman, she decided, she said, as she looked at her home, she said, I always desire a beautiful home, a mansion, a spacious mansion. That's what I would like. And so the genie, without even saying anything, it was just a poop, and a mansion appeared. Gorgeous mansion. Well, now it was the husband's turn. And so he wanted a little privacy from his wife, and he had the genie to walk with him a little ways and make sure that his wife couldn't hear his requests. And he said to the genie, he said, you know, my wife and I, we're both at age 60, and I always desire to be married to a woman who was 30 years younger than me. That's my heart desire. That's my wish. And so before he knew it, it was a poop. The genie granted his wish. He was now 90. Okay. Been waiting all week to get that one out. All right. Okay. What brings you Christmas joy? What gives you Christmas joy as we think about this great season? And of course, late is a first. Late is a first. And so I'm going to ask, Miss Jennifer, what brings you Christmas, what gives you Christmas joy?
Oh, boy. Okay, so for me, Christmas, there's a lot of things in Christmas that brings me joy, beginning with singing carols, like Away in a Manger. There's no Christmas without Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are the gifts under the tree. I always wanted to find out which ones had my name on it and take it box up and shake it a little bit. But what brings me the most joy is spending Christmas with my family, opening gifts, singing carols, eating pie, eating fruitcake, and just having a wonderful time. So all those things bring me Christmas joy.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. And from the balcony, Kathy?
Christmas joy to me is family and friends. And to see the kids opening up the gifts and the expression on their face and to be able to give and do for others.
All right, thank you. Give her a hand. Howard's going to share. Go ahead, Howard.
Yeah, you caught me by surprise on this one.
Well, yeah, that's good. You got a good answer.
Well, I think it's... just knowing that God and His Son are here during the Christmas season for all of us, and they'll answer our prayers and be with us, and that's important for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. He handled it well. All right. Howard's in the choir. He's going to share.
Thank you. This is interesting that the pastor asked me to share my Christmas joy. Last year, this time, I was in a hospital hemorrhaging, and they couldn't stop the bleeding. But here I am. The Lord stopped the bleeding, and that's my joy, one joy. Another joy is I have a daughter who lives in California, and she finds the things that I don't need. She has a habit. She's a very loved, but you think of it, of something like a year's supply of Head and Shoulders shampoo, she would think of things that I really don't need to send me, and a deeply loving daughter. But I thank God that the Lord sent me something that I need. He sent His Son here to help me celebrate life, and it's my focus, my joy, to celebrate His coming here on earth, that I can be here and share this day with not only you, but our wonderful choir. We have a wonderful choir to sing great music, to sing great songs of joy. And so I give thanks for that.
All right, thank you. Give them a hand. All right. We all can express our different ways of what Christmas brings us and gives us as joy. I was really encouraged to do this, so I'm gonna go ahead and be obedient. I did it at the last service only because the last service, as you well know, we have a lot of elementary, high school, middle school kids and kids dealing with a lot of different issues. And so I wanted to kind of help relate. Of course, it's a good thing we have some kids in here. All of you are not, you know, in the season of the moment. Amen. Kids at heart. All right. I wanted to share this personal story as it relates to my son Kevin, and many of you have had an opportunity to be in worship with Kevin when he comes and to share with him. And so I wanted to share with you that it was in fourth grade when Kevin was diagnosed as dyslexic. And of course, we know that that was not easy news for the school teacher to share that with us, nor easy for us to hear, but we didn't buy into it. We didn't buy into it. Kevin was always encouraged, hey, regardless, you still have to motivate yourself and persevere, no excuses. And so his mother, you know my lovely bride, Linda, She did some research, and we sat down with Kevin, and we shared with Kevin that we purchased a Florida prepaid college plan. I remember fourth grade. Purchased it that same year, that same month that we received the news. Because we shared with him our aspirations, our dreams were for him to get an education. So we didn't buy into that. And Linda researched and she shared several different personalities that you're very familiar with. George Burns, President Thomas Edison, President John F. Kennedy, and perhaps many of you watch her during the week, Whoopi Goldberg, Danny Glover, all were dyslexic. But then we also hit home with someone he could identify with. He loved to go to Disney World, and we shared with him that Walt Disney was dyslexic. And so we wasn't giving him opportunity, bless his heart, to have any excuses. If he could remember all the latest words of a song from the rap age with rappers, hello, and all the great hits of the late Michael Jackson in that beautiful album, Off the Wall, then he could remember his schoolwork. Let me do it the way I did it at the last service. If you see a young person around you right now in worship, just say you can get your schoolwork. Oh, some of you are so shy. Let's say it together. You can get your schoolwork. Yeah, I'm going somewhere. Hang in there with me. Yeah, and so the expectation was for him to continue his responsibilities and do it extremely well to the best of his abilities. And lo and behold, a fast forward, he graduated, of course, from high school. And then, of course, many of you know, a couple of years ago, he graduated from college. But yesterday, Kevin received his master's degree from Bethune-Cookman University in leadership transformation. Here's a picture of it right here. Yeah. I say that to say this, we must continue to encourage and continue to inspire and take no excuses, but persevere and to push our young people forward. They may not like it, we've been there as well, but we do know it's for their best, and we have their best interests in mind. Now, after that service, unbeknown to me, and he doesn't mind me sharing this with you, Dr. Haley White is a professor, college professor, and he shared with me, hey, that's my story. I was diagnosed in fourth grade, and also I flunked out of college, but went back to college, and now he has a PhD in teaching other college students. That's what it's all about, and that's joy. That's joy. So if you look at 1 John, the first chapter, you'll see that this is an epistle, a very short epistle. It's one of three that John is writing. Now, keep in mind, this is, according to biblical scholars, many scholars would say, this is the same John who has given us the Gospel of John. And in his writings, he does it totally different than the other three gospel writers, as we know, with his gospel, because he gets right into the Word. He even refers to Jesus as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But here in the epistle, he does the same exact thing. He zeroes in to the deity, to the purpose, to the life of Jesus coming. He refers to Jesus as light, and how the light shines and overcomes darkness. In fact, it is John who reminds us in a nutshell that our walk must equal our talk as Christians. We're to walk in the light. John is encouraging his hearers in the early church to continue to persevere, to continue to know that indeed joy comes from the Lord. You see, we have on the altar, and we had a beautiful playing of the bells by Mrs. Wilson as it relates to rejoicing. And Paul says, rejoice. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Joy. This is a season of joy. J-O-Y. You heard me say it before. Some people bring joy when they enter a room. Other people bring joy when they leave a room. But this is a joyous occasion. Joyous occasion. And John shares as it relates to the light and how our light has come in the midst of darkness. You look closely at this passage of scripture, you'll see how John acknowledges that the blood of Jesus helps assist us in cleansing of us of our sins. And John is inspiring us to know that no sin can separate us from God's love and the joy of God if we do one thing, if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just and will cleanse us of our sin and all unrighteousness. Well, in this passage, indeed, if you look closely in this passage of scripture, in these just few verses, you'll see where darkness is a focus point as well as light. In fact, I want to ask you a question. It's the second bullet point question. It's this question. It says, how does darkness manifest itself in your life? Well, Vance Green is a Christian counselor, and he says it this way. Whatever is your temptation, that's your darkness. Hatred, greed, and the list goes on. Not caring how your actions affect others. Any type of abuse, selfishness. All things that Satan, the prince of darkness, brings into our lives. End of quote. But it's a great reminder that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. He wants to give us that everlasting joy. But what do you do? What do I do? When it seems as though our light is dim. What do we actually do? What do you do when the light appears dim? Ask your neighbor that question. When the light appears dim, what do we do? Who do we turn to? What do we gravitate towards? It should be the Word of God. The Word of God. There's a beautiful illustration, and we're going to have it now, as it relates to what one believer did by using Christmas lights with Scripture. And if you want to write them down, feel free. She had Isaiah, the 7th chapter, in the 14th verse, that indeed he would be called Emmanuel. God is with us. On Friday night, here in our fellowship hall at the church, they had what is called our Christian Day School, Happy Birthday Jesus. And those little kids came and they shared before the audience and they shared verbatim Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. They said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, and the Prince of Peace. But there's another scripture, Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. In fact, if you are a sports fan, you will see it always displayed somewhere in a sporting arena, along with John 3:16. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse says, I can do all things, not some things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But then look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. The Apostle Paul said it this way. We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul was saying as though we can't see the way, but God will make a way out of no way. Can I get a witness? And Paul was reminding us that even when the light is dim, continue to have faith, continue to believe. We walk by faith and not by sight. I want to share with you the title of a book, a very fascinating book, Talking Ducks by James A. Kitchen, Talking Ducks. In his book, he talks about two talking ducks, and he refers to them as internal joy and external joy. And he refers to them as these two talking ducks, how they speak to us in many different ways. Eternal joy is that joy that is within. that joy that is within. And external joy is that joy based upon situations or which way the wind is blowing. Sometimes the wind is blowing in one direction and I'll have joy, but then next time the wind can blow in another direction and I won't have that joy. It's based upon those circumstances, those situations around us. But internal joy is that joy within. I want to share this story with you as it relates to Tony Evans, who is a pastor in Dallas, Texas, and also a sports counselor, chaplain as well. Tony Evans shares, and those of you from New York, you're perhaps familiar with what occurred in 2003. In 2003, Dr. Tony Evans was in New York City, and he said there was a complete blackness. All the lights were out. All the lights. And let's have a word of prayer this time, okay? Let's pray. Gracious Holy One, we pray for our dear sister, Doreen. We pray that your Holy Spirit of comfort be with her. We thank you for her faithfulness. We thank you for Milton, her caretaker. We thank you for her willingness just to be in the presence of your people in worship. Provide comfort and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Tony Evans shared that indeed it was just total blackness. No lights on anywhere. And he said he couldn't believe it in New York City, of all places. The subway, the United Nations, total blackness. The airports, total blackness. His hotel, he could see it, but it was pitch dark as well. Dr. Tony Evans said even Wall Street was in darkness. But he noticed there was lights on in a restaurant. And people were wrapped around the restaurant waiting to get something to eat. But guess what they were doing? They were singing Christmas carols. They were singing Christmas songs. One of the songs that they shared was our first hymn this morning. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Now, it's more than just singing a Christmas song, because if you look at the backdrop of that great hymn, hymn number 246 in our hymn book, it is words that come from the pen of Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts was born, and while he was just an infant, he was sick. Then later on, as he got healthy, as a teenager, he became sick. As an adult, he was called to preach, and he pastored a church in London, England. But then he became sick. And while he was on his sickbed and ultimately his deathbed, he would write letters of encouragement to his members, prayers, and then one day when they told him he only had a few more days to live, he penned the words of that hymn, hymn number 246. When he reflected and looked at his own life, he says, "Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." It was a joyful moment for him, and he wanted to make sure that the world received joy. Well, fast forward back to the story. Dr. Tony Evans said he was in that line. He waited, and he finally got up to the counter. While he was there at the counter, he had to ask. He made his order, but he asked the manager, "How in the world, in New York City, total darkness, that your restaurant is the only place that have lights?" That manager said, "That's very simple. When I built this restaurant, I built it to last. I didn't use electricity. I used a gas generator. Regardless what's going on the outside in New York City, my restaurant will always have lights because of what's going on the inside." And I hope you get it. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, yes, things may happen to us and things may happen on the outside, but it's what's happening on the inside that gives me joy, that sustains my joy. Nehemiah said it this way in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can rely upon that strength. We can count on that strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get a